the point of this is to provide the best facts-driven show that we possibly can.
Ideally, you have a glue guy who is good.
Hashtag glue guy, hashtag locker room guy. You can't go sign Bobby Holik to $1 trillion. You can't do these things.
Very satisfying.
The absolute best NYR show in town.
This is the Liberty Blue. Rangers Podcast. With Andrew Shelby. And Nick Zeraris.
Rangers fans, welcome to Liberty Blue, the essential New York Rangers podcast. I'm Andrew Chalney, alongside Nick Zeraris. And Nick, game five in about an hour. How you feeling? Vibe check.
Fine. I thought after the first 10 minutes on Saturday, they largely played fine. That game was won on the margins, like the rest of the games in this series. Going into that game, it was 8-6, even strength, 6-on-6 if we're being technical, because two of the Carolina goals were empty netters. The Rangers didn't get a special teams goal on Saturday. That's really the difference. I didn't feel like after the first 10 minutes and the Rangers kind of weathered the storm, they got the goal going back the other way and got it to once it was 3-1, they settled in. They weren't amazing. Their first really tough game for the Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line, in that they got hemmed in their own zone quite a bit, like we had talked about on Saturday when we had streamed in the early afternoon. That was something Carolina had consciously done in this series, trying to get their best players out there against Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere. If they make those guys play defense, they can't create offense. And for the first time this series, you saw Carolina have some success with that. Sure, some of the goals Carolina had, some of the success Carolina found early in that game were off of Ranger mistakes as opposed to Carolina really kind of pressing their agenda. But these are the playoffs. Carolina is a good team. You had to expect them to come out with a kitchen sink type performance, and that's what they had. When you're going to get a goal from down the lineup guys like Kuznetsov and Nosen, you're going to have a relatively good outcome. And sure, the Rangers got down the lineup goals too. They got goals from Cooley and Gaudreau. You don't expect that all that often, but if you get those and you get a power play goal, the Rangers probably win on Saturday. If you have a better first 5 minutes and the way they played, they probably win on Saturday. But the way the game shook out, they were right there. They had chances. They had a couple posts. They couldn't find the fourth goal. It happens. Reasonable effort. Not like anything glaring, anything, oh my God, how are they going to fix this? They have questions. You know, we'll see. It looks like it's going to be Brodzinski again in that spot instead of Rempe, and he'll slot in on the fourth line. But other than that, it seems like everything's pretty much static in terms of the lineup, and you got to expect the effort to be relatively similar.
You can't expect this team to go 60-0. Like, at a certain point, You know, we can highlight the issues the Rangers had, maybe defensively. Some of the sticks weren't there early on. But overall, there was the clip that was surfacing on Twitter earlier today about from Sam Rosen and John Davidson back when they were casting the game number 8 of the Cup Final 94. Where they came out and their open was, oh, well, you know, because they lost their game 4 of the second round as well. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't expect them to go 16-0, did you? Like, these are the things that kind of get maybe overhyped a little bit because this is their first loss of the playoffs. By the way, it's game number 9 and they're 7-1. Like, yeah. There were issues throughout the game defensively, especially early on, that you would rather not see them do. But overall, I mean, again, the Carolina, like you talked about, the Hurricanes were everywhere, especially in that first period. Up 2 goals, they were rolling on all fronts, and the Rangers still weathered that storm. Lafreniere got that tying goal off of a bank shot off of Freddie Anderson, a goal that should never go in. And yeah, they got their first power play goal. What are they? One of 18 for the series now. Listen, the Rangers didn't have that great of a game in game 4 for the most part, and they still almost won that. So I'm not too worried about it. I expect them to get a better start here in game 5, especially at home. You got the John Brandsey special with the anthem. I think early on, it'll be a little bit more even than we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, the series has been even. I know the Rangers were up 3-0 in the series, but the goal differential through four games is one. It's 12-14. Excuse me, it's two. It's 12-1. It's 14 Rangers goals, 12 Carolina goals. The differential in game four was one goal. It was 3-3 at evens and 1-0 on special teams.
Yeah.
There's been an overtime game in here. This is a close series. And the reason the Rangers were up 3-0 in the series going into Saturday was because they had been outright dominant on special teams. If the even strength is a coin flip, you got to find differentiation points in other places. On Saturday, Carolina won the special teams battle, and that was enough. And
sure.
I don't think I've seen a lot of panic, in all honesty. I've seen modicums of frustration, some trickling complaints about maybe how some guys are used, but I feel the way the game developed, reasonable adjustments, leaning on certain pairs a little bit heavier than others, double shifting certain guys, getting Panarin out there with Zibanejad and Kreider at points trying to chase that last goal. You feel reasonably okay about the decision-making, how they've played. Your only real frustration as a Ranger fan is that a lot of these mistakes are self-inflicted, and they're not stuff Carolina's forcing them into.
Yeah.
If you go back and you watch the buildups to some of these sequences, these are split-second decisions. And ultimately, a lot of the game comes down to a split-second decision. It's, am I going down to a knee? Am I reaching out my stick? Or am I leaning out with my body? Those are your three options for the most part as a defensive player when you're trying to break up a play. If I can get there with one of the three faster than the other two, that's the one I need to go for, even if it's the one I might not be the most comfortable with. You know, the Gaudreau failed clear through the neutral zone. All he has to do is take another stride or two, and he gets to the red line, and he sends that in, and the goal just never happens, and we don't even have to talk about Trouba not stepping up as opposed to conceding ground. So there are a lot of those little things. These are split-second decisions, and it's not like these are fatal flaws or like fundamental errors within these guys' games. I think a lot of these mistakes, especially in terms of just the failed zone exits and the bad clears, come down to both a little bit of panic where I got to move the puck, and two, a little bit of overconfidence, a little bit I got this. Yeah. I can do this. Yeah. And that's ultimately where a lot of those mistakes stem from. It's the combination of both of those. It's not making the right of the three choices where you move your body, your stick, or both all together. And that's ultimately where a lot of those little things happen. If Trouba leans forward just a smidge as opposed to going for the hit, he probably blocks that shot with his stick. It goes into the netting and the sequence dies. Gaudreau, like I said, if he just keeps skating, that puck goes through the neutral zone. They send it down. They go for a line change. The third Carolina goal, the Nosin goal, if Trouba ties up a little bit better, that probably gives Shesterkin enough time to get over from right to left to get in front of that shot. But at that point, you're nitpicking. These are two really good teams. These games have been really close. Sure, you always want to play better. These are easily identifiable mistakes, but these are execution mistakes, not process mistakes. I think one thing that would help the Rangers out tonight a lot, and to your point about getting off to a good start, the forwards have been a little jumpy in fleeing the zone, trying to get from defense to offense. And that, when you're Trouba, when you're Gustafsson, when you're Schneider, you need targets who are available for you to pass to. The long alley-oop out of the zone is good to alleviate pressure temporarily. But if you're a forward, hang back in the zone an extra 2 seconds, make yourself available as a target, and you got your breakout. That's been the one issue in this series for the Rangers defensively, is Carolina has been able to hem them in for extended periods of time, and then off of the rush. But the Rangers have been poor off of the rush all season, so I don't think that's something you're going to be able to fundamentally change over the course of a game or two. But it is something. I think the breakouts is more easily correctable than the rush defense, because the rush defense has been an issue all year, whereas the breakouts have largely been solid this year.
Think of it this way. Trouba, Gustafsson had a miserable experience of a game. Panarin had the worst game of the playoffs so far for him. The first line overall didn't really do much when they were out there on the ice. And the Rangers still only lost by a goal. And even then, the special teams didn't get much done. Power play didn't get going. The late Brady Shea goal in the power play, their first power play goal of the series, that ended up being the game decider. A lot of things didn't go right for the Rangers in game four, and they still only lost by a goal. Keandre Miller, by the way, in game four, sensational defensively. There were numerous shifts where I saw his stick being active. He was his positioning was in the right spot. He had a really good defensive game from what I saw. And when so many of those things go right and you're still tied with 3 minutes to go in the game until Brady Shea just happens to score and then that's the game, like, that's really good. That's a really good sign that at the end of the day, you know, Carolina had a lot of things go their way, and yet they still almost lost. That's good if you're a Rangers fan.
Completely agreed in that respect. It's close. And one thing I think that's worth pointing out is that all season long, the Rangers have been a slow-starting team. They have gotten better period by period over the course of the year. Pretty much all of the numbers bear that out, both in terms of goals and shots on goal. I jokingly tweeted the lean forward lock in graphic after the first period on Saturday, because it's true. The Rangers, stylistically, they just need to withstand that first period. If they're in the game after one, they can start to get their counterattack going. And it's twofold, because once you get a lead, the other team I'm talking about, that changes how you're going to approach offense. You're going to be a little bit less risk averse. You're going to be a little more defensive. And that's going to play into what the Rangers want to do. The Rangers want to go from defense to offense quickly. And then when the third and fourth line are out there, they want to cycle you into a pulp. You get those two things going, you're giving the other team a variety of looks throughout your lineup. I think that's something that the Rangers in particular are a bit better suited for in the playoffs this year, as opposed to some of the years past, where if they can't get their rush offense going, where they can't get the cross-seam pass, where they can't generate odd man rushes, it really feels like there's no consistent way for them to score. Whereas now, even if that Cooley, Wenberg, Kako line isn't putting the puck in the net a whole lot, they aren't. They're still maintaining possession. They're still putting pressure on the other team. The Rangers aren't playing defense when those guys are out there. And that's mitigating risk for the Rangers when you have that out there. And even Gaudreau, Vizi, and Hoomstever as the fourth guy have done a reasonable enough job of that, of just holding the puck in the other team's offensive zone for extended periods of time and forcing them to play defense. That is why this series is has been as close as it is. Even though Carolina's had the puck a lot more, the Rangers have been able to capitalize on the opportunities they've had. Like you mentioned, the Lafreniere bank goal off of Freddie Anderson. Hank had a really good segment about that on the TNT broadcast, about the goalies being a little wonky on the post. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend checking it out. But when you have these opportunities, you got to pounce. And the thing I will point out to you as a Ranger fan, you felt Carolina get a little bit nervous there.
Yeah,
that puck goes in off of Freddie Anderson's back. Freddie sulks down to the ground like, ah, shit, I can't believe I let that in. Everybody starts looking around at each other, and the Rangers are all looking up and down the bench at each other, giggling like, okay, one more, we win this game, we win the series. That is something I don't think you can put a label on. I think the Rangers have had so much confidence this regular season, these playoffs, whereas Carolina, especially going into that game four, felt a really heavy burden of, we don't win this game, this team is going to look very different in 2 months. Hell, Rod might not even be the coach if this goes this way. So I think the stakes are obviously high. These are the playoffs. But for this Carolina iteration specifically, they realize they've got they've got 4 or 5 unrestricted free agents, 3 or 4 restricted free agents. The coach is a free agent. If they go out in 5, they have real question marks as a franchise. So I expect Carolina to be desperate again. It's just a matter of, can they maintain that intensity? Because you saw on Saturday, ton of intensity in the first, but once they got out to that lead, they dialed it back just a smidge. They weren't as aggressive trying to get that fourth goal until late when they eventually won. And that benefits the Rangers, like we just talked about. The Rangers get better as the game goes along, and it helps them if the other team is a little bit less aggressive offensively. So stylistically and mentally, you have things working for your favor as the Rangers, regardless of the actual on-ice results. You have stuff that is working for you.
Can we talk about Alexis Lafreniere for a second? Like, this dude,
he just doesn't give a shit.
He's on one right now. That's saying it mildly. Like, you the Rangers had, and we talked to Sam Rosen before the season started, where the fundamental question that we asked is, you know, can Lafreniere make that next step? where is that first overall potential that the Rangers drafted him with? That was the whole thing. This guy was essentially the consensus number one pick. This is the next superstar, et cetera, et cetera. Coming into this season, there were some question marks, like, where is his next step? Where is he going to elevate his game? Not only has he done that in this playoffs, he's been at times their best player, period. Besides Shesterkin, of course, he's been everywhere. His confidence is on another level. He's got that I don't care factor to his game, where he's taking it to the net. He bank shot off of Freddie Anderson to tie the game. Like, he doesn't care. He's doing, like, that's the kind of play that you don't make if you're not confident in your ability. Like, that's the kind of play that you make where it's like, I have so much confidence. Like, Freddie Anderson doesn't look good in this split second. I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to shoot it off of his back and see what happens. It is so much fun to watch Alexis Lafreniere right now. Not only the way he's playing, but the way that he's acting on the bench, on the ice, before the game, after the game. He's a lot of fun. And that, I think, is having an effect on the entire bench. Of course, we saw the Blake Wheeler reaction when they won game 3, where he was banging on the glass with Jonathan Quick. Like, all of that, we talk about the intangibles and all these things, but it does provide a boost to the team. When the vibes are so high, the mistakes don't feel as big. Oh, we lost the game? That's fine. We'll just win the next one. Oh, we're down a goal? Oh, that's fine. I'll just bank a shot off of Anderson's back. A tie game. Oh, it's fine. Like, the vibes are really high right now. The confidence is high right now. I want to see them keep it going here in game 5.
I'm trying to I forget the exact way it's phrased, but someone like Lafreniere is, I don't want to say naive, but like, he doesn't have a perspective of how difficult this is. Like, he's been in the league four seasons. They've been to the playoffs 3 of the 4 years. He's played well in 2 of the 3 playoffs. And he's largely done it in a supporting ancillary role where he's not expected to do a whole lot. So whatever they get from him up until this year had largely been a bonus, but now he's got real expectations on him. But that naivety is interesting in that he really just does not care. You give him the puck, he's going to try and make something happen. And he's very he's very determined to get the puck to the net and just see what happens. And he's one of the few guys in this lineup that he's not trying to pick the corner on a particular grain of fiber on the net. He's just trying to put it on the goalie and see what happens. He's there trying to get a shot low, so that way if it rebounds, trickles out, they have second chance opportunities. He has played very well. And some of that is that he's got more room, he's getting more opportunity, he's getting more ice time, he's playing with better line mates. And of course, all of that is going to work for you. You get 2 more minutes a game of ice time at even strength almost entirely, because the power play still doesn't get a ton of time. You're going to put up more counting stats. You do it with a guy who has 120 points, you're going to put up more counting stats. But the requisite confidence Lafreniere is playing with is important, and it is infectious. It's something that him, I think Keandre Miller is in that same boat. I think Mika Zibanejad in that same boat, where if it's going well for them, they're just going to keep going. They're going to keep making things happen. And if they're not, then that's where you start to see trepidation. That's where you see mistakes. That's where you get that inconsistency from. With Lafreniere, I think of the Dion Waiters, if I stop shooting at 0 for 12, that means I lost confidence. No, you want Lafreniere to finish the game with 12 scoring chances, 7 shots on goal, a goal and assist. You want him pushing the play and making things happen where the defense has to respect him, because that opens up stuff for Trocheck, that opens up stuff for Panarin. That's the key here for why that line is so successful at 5-on-5. And I have felt that Roslovic has had a solid series. I think he's a good supporting piece, but I do think defenses don't really respect his shot as much, and that's why defenses cue in on Kreider and Zibanejad a little bit more, whereas with that second line, which is their first line in ice time, but not second, not first line in their depth chart, that's why it's so effective, at least stylistically, that all 3 of those guys are good at something different, and they're all dangerous in their own rights, and it makes defenses respect them, and that's where you get the defenses pinching up. Speaking of defenses pinching up, it's going to give me a heart attack at some point the next time I see Gustafsson or Trouba or Schneider overlapping in the offensive zone like a soccer fullback, because that's how you get Panarin as the first guy back in a two-on-one going the other way. And I understand the defense being aggressive is a part of what makes them successful, but as a fan in a playoff series against a team that is faster than you are, God, does it make you uneasy watching Trouba make that run knowing, oh God, that who's back? Panarin's the first guy back, and you got Panarin trying to break up a two-on-one, which is what happened at one point in the game the other day. So defensively, you can't tell them to not be aggressive, but maybe a little more choosy in when we're choosing to make some runs. And hell, it almost worked for Trouba. And that's the funny thing. If Trouba gets that redirect in the third period and they win that game, it goes into the category of Zibanejad passing in that two-on-one in game one of, ha-ha, that was funny. Or Trouba going neck first into the glass in game two of, oh, he's so stupid, but they won the game. Whereas now they lost, and it's reasonable to say he was on the ice for three of the four goals against. He should be better.
That's an understatement. Like, yeah, if you want to excuse that one play of he was trying to make an offensive play, it didn't work, and that cost him, I can live with that. These are situations where, again, there's split second. You make the decision to crash the net or, you know, attack in such a way that has Panarin playing defense on a 2-1-1. I can live with that in a series where you're up now 3-1. But these defensive issues, it's going to be a little bit different now that they're in Madison Square Garden because the Rangers have the last change now. But in games 3 and 4, the Hurricanes pounced. Whenever Gustafsson and Trouba were on the ice, it was the top line always, for the most part. Rod knows, hey, this is not the best defenseman on the planet for the Rangers. We have to send out our best guys against those two, because if we don't, then we won't have any room to maneuver. And that's what they did. And Trouba was on the ice. I think Gustafsson was on the ice for 3 of the 4 goals against as well. Didn't have a great defensive game. But again, at the end of the day, Panarin didn't have a great game. Trocheck didn't have a great game. Those guys were not fantastic. Power play didn't exist. The first line, in air quotes, didn't really do much offensively. A lot of things, it did not go the Rangers' way. And they still only lost by a goal. That, if nothing else, it should bode well for this team moving forward.
I do worry the longer this series goes on about the Rangers' ability to match Carolina's tempo and intensity. I think most people would recognize Carolina is faster in terms of straight line speed, and they're definitely a little bit more of a physical team than the Rangers. And I think the longer the series goes, that does benefit Carolina. It's part of why wrapping this series up is the sooner the better, because the more miles you run, and we talked about Saturday, the more games you play, the better the risk of injury, sure, that type of thing. So wrapping it up is not as easy as it sounds. Carolina will be desperate. Carolina has shown a resourcefulness, and I know they were up 3-0, but I say again, this series has been that close, and special teams has largely swung it. I don't feel like this series is in the same boat as Edmonton, Vancouver, or Boston, Florida, where the officiating has been awful. I think it's just been bad as opposed to awful. I think guys on both teams have very liberally gone down easier than they should, trying to bait penalties. I think guys have lain in a heap like they're dead on the ground for longer than they needed to, trying to draw a penalty. I do think the fact that the power play has been so important in this series is definitely part of why you probably won't see as many penalties the longer this series goes on. That's something that statistically bears out. That
coaches and players will tell you the same thing, that getting the fourth win is the hardest one to get.
Yeah, it always is, because the other team is more desperate.
Of course.
And you can say, of course, well, the Rangers want to win too. And yes, desperation is always going to produce better results than comfort. It's just one of those things where when shit hits the fan, the team that needs it more will make weird things happen for them. And you think about it. Some of those Carolina goals, the ugly rebound, the second chances, you get a Brady Shea point goal with traffic in front, all of that accumulated. And as we've said a few times, it took all of that for the Rangers to lose this game in a game they didn't play particularly well. The Rangers did not play well, at least the first 25, 30 minutes of that game. Then they started getting their feet moving. They definitely put a little bit of pressure on them. They tied the game to get it from 3-1 to 3-3. It sounds stupid to say that's an accomplishment, but it's proof of concept. As we've said all year, the Rangers have found ways in these games where even if they're not playing great, they hang around, and then you hang around long enough, anything can happen. You hit a post, you get a rebound off of someone's back, off the goalie's back. It's 3-3. You got a chance to steal one in Carolina in a game you maybe had 20% of the possession in the game. And then that's where things happen when you're a good team. You can make your own luck even if you aren't in that much of control, because the Rangers high-end talent. And the Rangers high-end talent has been okay in this series. You would like a little bit more from Adam Fox, but you probably feel he's at least a little bit physically compromised. You feel you probably want a little bit more from Panarin, even though he's given you goals. Him and his line haven't been as good in this series as they've been earlier in the playoffs the rest of the season, but that's the benefit of having the 3-1 lead. You have room, you have margin for error. So I was so important you took care of business as early as you could. Now, I'm not saying you fuck around and you let this get to 4-2, 4-3, but they have more than enough leeway here where even if they get off to a slow start tonight, they'll have last change. The longer the game goes on, that has historically favored the Rangers this season, that works for you. Your goal is just not letting this game get out of hand in the first period. And for a minute there, it did look like the game was going to get out of hand on Saturday. And that was really the first time all playoffs the Rangers have faced real adversity. But they weathered the storm. They got it to 3-1 at intermission. They had a chance in that game, and they wore Carolina down, and they got it to a tie. You got it to a coin flip after trailing for the vast majority of the game. That is something you can't replicate. That is something that really reflects well on the character of this group. And the other thing, you know, it's really good to see the coach recognize my one defensive pair is getting killed out there. I'm going to start skipping them every now and then because I can't afford to have them out there. I think we've seen Laviolette not be quick on the trigger, but have a reasonable understanding of the temperature. Maybe, and this is a me thing, maybe I would have used a timeout somewhere in there earlier in the game at 3-1 because the tempo was getting a little away from them. I understand coaches are a little more reticent to use their timeout now because it's associated with the challenge. If you don't have the timeout, you can't challenge. But other than that, you feel like he's got a really good pulse on the group. If you saw the Rempe quotes today about how he really does a good job of sitting down with guys and letting them know you're not going to play, but if something happens in warmups, you should be ready to go. Whereas the Rangers have operated in years past where guys wouldn't find they were healthy scratched until they came out of the locker room they came back to the locker room after warmups and saw the lineup written on the dry erase board. So I think the coaching staff has a really good handle on these guys. And I think for the most part, these guys have shown a resilience that Rangers teams of years past just don't have mentally. It would have been very easy at 3-1 for that game to kind of get written off.
For sure. But
they chipped away at it and they found a way to get back in it. Carolina made a couple mistakes and you're right there in it at the end. That type of mindset is something you can't fugazi. And that's been the biggest difference between this Rangers team and Rangers teams of years past, where they have tried to bullshit their way through seasons, through playoffs with just their high-end talent and just Shesterkin standing on his head. They've got the high-end talent.
And Lundqvist as well.
Prior, we're talking about different windows here. Yeah. But they have shown a mental edge to their game in support of their talent that's allowed them to be President's Trophy good, as opposed to second place in the division, losing games in overtime, losing to, you know, San Jose and Columbus and Ottawa and Anaheim and the dog shit teams because they've messed around for three periods. This team is fundamentally different in mindset, and it's why their talent has been so rewarded this year.
It just feels like this team understands the assignment. They know, okay, you know, if we let this slip to game six, to game seven, that they don't want that, and they're gonna do their I mean, this is going to sound silly because I feel like every team that has a 3-0 lead doesn't want it to go six or seven games. But like, they have a fundamental understanding of what to do, what not to do, how to end this game, how to end this series as fast as possible, what to do in situation. Like, they were down 3-1. Like you said, they could have really spiraled out of control. That game could have, you know, opened up, and that could have been a track meet of a hockey game. 3-1 down. They hunkered down. They got the second goal off of a Barclay Goudreau deflection and that third goal off of Anderson's back. And all of a sudden, it's a tie game off of, you know, out of a first 20 minutes that didn't really look good for them at all. So so much of that is mental. Like you talked about, it's very difficult to in any game, let alone a playoff game. When you're down 3-1 after the first period, it's difficult to regroup after that. To do it in a playoff series, when you're up 3-0, you know, a lot of teams could have been like, oh, you know, let's try things, let's do this, let's try to, you know, oh, we have to do something that we haven't done before to try to catch them off guard, whatever. They just played their game. It's a very, I don't want to say a stoic way to play the game, but it's a very kind of, we understand our fundamentals. We are going to keep playing our fundamentals because we've been working at it all season long, and we're going to play the same way regardless of the score. And that's one of the best ways that they have in their pocket to bring back any game, no matter what the score is. And that's why they're one of, if not the best comeback teams in the league, is because they maintain that mentality throughout the game. And over the course of a game, yeah, like if whichever team they play has an all-out attack in the first 20 minutes, it's not sustainable for the entire game to have that kind of pressure for every shift of every minute of every game. Eventually, there's going to be pockets where the Rangers find themselves in an advantageous position, and that is where they get their damage done. That's been the fundamental formula for this team offensively at 5-on-5, and they know it to a T, and they're not going to change it. So regardless of what the score is, they play the same way, and it is really refreshing to see them not panic. It's really refreshing, and there hasn't really been a whole lot of moments to panic because they've won every game besides the one that they just played. But there's a different feel about this team that we haven't seen in previous years, where they're not gripping their sticks too tightly, they're not overthinking plays too much. Yeah, I mean, one too many passes or the split second decisions maybe not going their way sometimes, whatever. But you're not seeing you're not seeing the fundamentals break down in front of you in real time. And that is so refreshing to see as a fan of this hockey team.
It's the secret sauce. The more even keel you're able to play, the better your odds are, because you don't get too high, you don't get too low. That comes to the personalities, that comes to the mindset of these guys, and you gotta feel reasonably good about their ability in any of these games against anyone, because they've played reasonably well in these playoffs, and they haven't peaked yet. I know they were at 1.7-0, they'd killing teams on special teams throughout the first seven games. They still have a little bit of room to give you at 5-on-5, where you feel, okay, we get a little bit more 5-on-5. We control possession just a smidge more. We get that in conjunction with Shesterkin's rolling. We get that with the penalty kill, which has been excellent. And then you get a power play goal. You're in good shape. That's the way you should be thinking about this, is they didn't get a power play goal on Saturday. That bodes well for the chances they're able to convert one tonight. You get one, that, all right, we need to find three more goals. Where can we find three more goals? Because four goals probably wins you the game tonight. That's the way you can start to game out the math and strategizing. And the way Saturday went, I think bodes well for the game tonight, because as we've reiterated a few times, they did not play well. They hung around. They found a way to get back in it. Tonight, get the crowd going. I know it's a Monday night. I know people will be a little tired, a little cranky. It's a Monday night. Loud, intense. First 5-10 shifts, probably a little bit slower than the game on Saturday, because typically speaking, the games always get off to a slower start here than they do on the road for whatever reason. The Rangers are able to match a little bit harder. These games, lots of icings, lots of pucks out of play. Play your matchups. Get a feel for how the game is going to take shape, and then play the game as it comes to you. not all four of these games have developed in the same shape. Some of them, Carolina's gotten out to the faster start. Some of them, the Rangers have scored first and gotten out to the faster start. So the Rangers are well-equipped for most situations. They need to find a way to cut down on the mistakes because Carolina's too good. But other than that, man, we're talking about pinching a little late. We're talking about a backhand pass through the neutral zone. We're talking about a rebound. We're talking about a power play goal. The Carolina's good. Carolina will score goals if you give them the opportunity. It's on the Rangers to score one more than they do, win the hockey game, and go on to the next round. It is that simple. They very well can do it. They are well equipped to do it. I would dare say they probably should do it tonight based on everything we've seen, because Freddie Anderson, tired, very clearly not 100%.
Either.
He's been fine. I wouldn't say he's been great, but he's been fine.
I'm not saying he looks bad.
He's not the reason they're losing, but he's worn down. Yeah. He's tired. Yeah. It's been a long season. I know he was in a straight tandem down the back half of the season where he's playing every other day. In the playoffs, you go to a double overtime game, you're going to have a little bit more of a physical wall that next day when you get up. So it's understandable they went to Kochetkov. Put pressure, force him to make saves, and see what happens. This is a Rangers team that is ready for this moment. It is simply a matter of executing. It's that simple.
Yep. No, they have what it takes, and they know they have what it takes. It's just a matter of continuously applying that pressure until you find that gap. Until you find that moment where you can attack. And yeah, again, I'm not saying Anderson has been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been beatable. The bank shot, the couple of shots that maybe you'd like to have him stop. I think the Panarin goal, I think it was in game one or was it game two, that just kind of slipped through him. He hasn't been like Stuart Skinner bad, but he hasn't been Shesterkin good either. To that extent. So if you just keep applying the pressure and you keep essentially peppering shots, almost like what Carolina is doing to Shesterkin, but maybe, have Anderson not see some of these, I think the Rangers are going to be fine. I'm not too worried about him right now.
I'm seeing that Rempe is taking warm-ups and Brodzinski isn't. Whether or not that means he's going to play or not, don't know. But if you're going to sneak Rempe back in, I think you can get away with doing it here because you have last change and it's a little bit easier to hide him. I think same thing will be true of Gustavsson and Trouba, where you can protect them a little bit better by giving them more favorable matchups. Hedl's
not warming up either.
No, Hedl I didn't figure was going to play regardless. But if Rempe does draw back in, you can get away with it at home. I don't think you can play him in Carolina, but God willing, they take care of it tonight, and that's not a consideration to worry about. Hopefully they win tonight, get shit taken care of. You see how Boston and Florida is going. Those two teams, not for the faint of heart. It's definitely a little bit more violent over there than it is over here.
Sure. The report, by the way, on Hedl is...
He's sick.
He was sick, and now he's dealing with soreness that is, according to Molly Walker, unrelated to a concussion. So he's fine.
Yeah. He would not have been classified day-to-day if it was anything serious. And that's why I think, for once, you can take the Rangers at their word when it comes to an injury in the postseason. Let's get everyone out of here. People got to go get their pregame rituals in. I need to eat. I need to go get a lift in. Well, we will talk to you probably some point later in this week, depending on how the series shakes out. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. Leave the show a 5-star review. If you're watching over on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the alarm bell, get a notification whenever a new episode or content goes out. Till then, let's go Rangers. Talk soon.